Third World American, Episode 4.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear.
I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend fascism, Nazism, totalitarianism, major combat operations in Iraq, outlaw regimes, banking systems, financial institutions, every financial influence, CEOs.
Hello everyone, my name is Paul and I want to welcome you to yet another exciting, fun-filled episode of the Third World American Podcast. Thanks a lot to Germ for letting me open the show with his mix, The Oath. Now, because of something I recently learned but promised I wouldn't reveal just yet, this show is going to be quite a bit different from previous episodes. If you've listened to previous shows, you've heard me refer to the mysteries of Manifesto Podcast Number 2 several times, so you may wonder, what is that all about? Well, I'm not finished with Manifesto Number 2 yet. As a matter of fact, I lost what I'd already done when my hard drives crashed last week. However, I'm going to reveal the gist of Manifesto Number 2 here today. Even though I won't be going into as much detail as I had originally planned, I hope you'll be as excited about it as I am. But first, let me give a warm welcome to readers of Mother Jones Magazine who found this podcast because of the tiny little classified ad I placed in that magazine's new issue, which hits the shelves this week. I chose to promote this show in Mother Jones because I think Mojo is the best magazine you'll find today. For those of you who don't know, Mother Jones was a labor activist in the 19th century who accomplished a hell of a lot on behalf of American workers, but would have been all but forgotten today if this magazine were not keeping both her name and the spirit of her work alive. I like Mother Jones Magazine because it's devoted to one simple goal: promoting social justice through quality investigative journalism. Now, the concept of social justice inherently leans to the left, yet I don't perceive Mother Jones as being a liberal or a conservative magazine. They do a fine job of focusing on the issues rather than the ideology, and I think we need a lot more of that in America today. They conduct very thorough investigations, they write extraordinarily well, illustrate their articles with great photography, and they research issues that are of real importance, often long before our corporate-controlled mass media has any idea that these issues even exist. So if you found me through my Mother Jones ad, I hope you'll stay riveted for at least the duration of this one episode, because here I'm revealing my master plan, and I think you'll find that my regular episodes are beginning to find their groove in a format that Mother Jones readers can appreciate. So if you don't already read the magazine, get your asses down to the bookstore and pick up a copy of Mother Jones. It's available at Borders and Barnes & Noble, I know, although I doubt you'll find it in a supermarket, which is probably a good thing. I'll provide a link to Mother Jones on my website, www.thirdworldamerican.com, and you'll even find full-length articles on their website. Please, support this magazine, people. It's the kind of journalism we are always finding absent in the corporate media. The big difference between Mother Jones' way and my way is that I don't enjoy the leisure time to fully investigate everything I would like to, and so I tend to raise philosophical questions in the hopes that people will engage in the frightening task of thinking. And because this is my own show, I guess my own ideology can't help but show through. Yet I really am committed to searching for the truth, and for what works, whether the correct answers lean to the left, or even if they should lean to the right. Above all else, that means that I'm willing to change even my most deeply held beliefs completely, when faced with compelling evidence that my most deeply held beliefs are wrong. I think that distinguishes me somewhat from Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Ann Coulter, Michael Moore, Al Franken, and other liberal and conservative extremists who are pretty hyped about talking, but not particularly keen on thinking. If you've listened to this podcast before, you may not believe this, but there was a time when I was a hardline, right-wing Christian conservative who watched Rush Limbaugh. I am as ashamed as hell to admit that, but I'm told that confession is good and the truth will set you free. So the truth is, I was a right-wing Christian conservative from my teenage years until I was somewhere around 30 years old. I even considered attending seminary at one point. And if I may confess one of the most shameful things I have ever done in my life, oh boy, I have to admit that I, yes, even I, once sent $50 to, I cringe to say this, Pat Robertson. That is the power of cult mentality, my friends. Now, in my defense, I thought I was donating to his Operation Blessing, which was supposed to be this project that fits 747 aircraft with mobile hospitals to treat impoverished people in third world nations, something I'm very much in favor of. So it's not like I was blindly supporting Robertson's multi-million dollar lifestyle of luxury and convenience. But then I read a report from a pilot of one of those planes that said Robertson was actually using these so-called mobile hospitals to transport equipment to the diamond mines that he owned in Africa. Now, this was never proven, I believe, but a pilot is, to me, a more credible witness than a multimillionaire televangelist who quotes biblical verses about giving all your money to the poor and who encourages our government to assassinate the leaders of sovereign nations. So after this revelation came a period where I swung to the other extreme and basically became a flaming liberal agnostic who watched Michael Moore movies. Well, that pie in the sky came crashing down to earth in 1999 when Michael Moore himself shook my hand on camera and promised to do something for me that was very important to me that his subsequent actions proved he never really intended to do at all. At the very least, he just plain never did it. And what I say about George W. Bush applies equally to Michael Moore. A man is only as good as his word. The video of that handshake with Michael Moore is one of my most prized possessions today because it reminds me that people must prove themselves worthy before I can put my faith and my trust into them. And I hope to obey that rule myself by proving myself worthy of your faith and your trust in this podcast. Fortunately, today, years later, I've found moderation by being neither a Republican nor a Democrat, nor a Libertarian, nor a Green. I've found moderation by being neither liberal nor conservative. Like I said, I don't care about ideology or theory. I care about truth, and I care about what actually works in practice. I've experienced the fanatical extremism of liberalism and conservatism, and I've found both to be miserably lacking. As a matter of fact, I found that they were simply opposite sides of the same coin, and the only reason I paid attention to Rush Limbaugh or Michael Moore at all in the first place is because I assumed that they must have been relevant, since, after all, they're famous, they're on TV, they're in the movies. That ridiculous idea fled my mind like a frightened jackrabbit when I stopped watching television in 1997. Because it didn't take much time away from the boob tube to realize what a truly dangerous and manipulative weapon for controlling the masses that idiot box really is. Indeed, if I was ever truly born again as an intelligent human being who took control of his own mind, his own actions, and his own destiny, it happened the day that I gave up television. I can only encourage you to try it for yourself. When I gave up television and suddenly found that I had all that extra time where I was conscious each day, an extraordinary thing happened. I began interacting with concerned and thinking citizens who were not on the radio or on television or in the movies. And guess what? They made a lot more sense than these for-profit talking heads that I'd seen all my life in the mass media. I learned a valuable lesson from this. We should not give credibility to people just because they are visible in the mass media. Not only that, but we should not deny people credibility simply because they are not visible in the mass media. We should grant any person credibility only when they have earned that credibility, and never before. It sounds simple, but man alive, Americans sure do ignore that simple credibility test, don't they? Today I see no difference at all between Rush Limbaugh and Michael Moore. mainly because neither one accomplishes anything productive or benefits the world in any meaningful way. They've both established profitable franchises based on a cult of personality and nothing more. In other words, in the final analysis, they really do more harm than good because they distract us and waste our time when we could be taking direct actions ourselves. I really believe they should be avoided and ignored and left alone to fade away quietly while we give our attention instead to people who are actually trying to accomplish something positive for the benefit of other people. And that's what this episode of the Third World American Podcast is all about. Because, you see, I am asking for your attention, and in a few moments I am going to ask for your active involvement in a very serious project, and I know that I must earn the right to make a request like that. So here I am today, searching for kernels of truth in a corporatized nation that profits from wholesale lying. Here I am, trying to restore the Constitution of the United States, while the officials we elect in accordance with that Constitution spend most of their time in office doing everything they can to undermine that brilliant document. Here I am, searching for sane solutions that actually work in the midst of all these so-called experts who inundate us with their insane academic theories as quickly as the peer review process and corporate book publishers can get them to press. And here I am to say some important things to as many people as possible on this humble podcast, while everything I say is overwhelmed and overshadowed by the daily deluge of lies and rubbish and distractions that are broadcast to the masses 24/7 by our corporate-controlled mass media. This forces me to ask an obvious question. What am I supposed to do to really make a difference as just one person in the face of these overwhelming obstacles? How do I overcome the propaganda bullhorn that is our mass media? How do I overcome our corrupt and incompetent government officials? How do I overcome the ruthless power and wealth of corporate America? The truth is, I don't have a simple answer for this. Because one unarmed man will never win a battle when he is surrounded on all sides by a 10,000-man army that is not only armed with long-range weapons, but is cowardly enough to use those long-range weapons against an unarmed, surrounded man. Using that analogy, which is more valid than many people are willing to admit, I see only one possible solution. I need other people's help. It's really as simple as that. I can't do it alone. And neither can you. But you know what? Together, we can get things done. We can stop the corporate criminals, the corrupt politicians. We can restore our liberties and the real national security that is provided by our Constitution. We can get our dignity and our good reputation as a nation back. And we can pass on to future generations a better world that is filled with real hope, rather than allowing them to inherit nothing but rhetoric and lies that merely repeat the word hope. All this can be ours in our own generation, but the key word here is not can. The key word is we. We the people must take control of our own destinies. We the people must pool our resources together and get things done. We the people of the United States. Now, I've referred to it often here, but I have not yet publicly revealed what I, as just one powerless individual, propose to do about the problems we face in America today. I was saving that for a future manifesto podcast. Unfortunately, I suffered a few major setbacks in the past week when I lost the hard drives containing all software and data for this show, and it also became known to me that I might have to begin implementing this plan a lot sooner than I had originally intended, due to circumstances beyond my control, possibly as early as this week. And the truth is, I'm just not ready yet, because to date I've been planning this project all alone. The fact is, I don't have the resources to pursue this project. So if I go for it, I'm putting myself at pretty serious risk. And I'll be honest with you, that frightens me. But you know what? It's our choice whether fear inspires us to action or if it stops us cold in our tracks. And I, for one, prefer to have my fear serve me and inspire me. And by doing so, I hope that will help inspire you to use your own fear to your advantage. Okay, All right, enough mysterious talk about this project. It's time to tell you what it is that I actually propose to do. Can you believe the time has finally arrived? Here it is. I am going to purchase a vehicle and spend 1 year driving across all 48 lower states as a journalist, podcasting on my observations and experience while searching for the reality of poverty, the wealth gap, and debtor's imprisonment in the United States of America. Note that I said the reality of poverty, the wealth gap, and debtor's imprisonment. Not the bullshit we're told in the mass media, which portrays the United States as a prosperous nation that is just chock full of opportunities for each and every one of America's 300 million citizens. I'm talking about the reality of the situation. Now, I have my own thoughts on what that reality is. I believe we are in a depression, and that we have been in a depression ever since the late 1960s, when the credit card companies began issuing billions of dollars each year in currency that doesn't even exist, in the form of consumer debt, which they call credit. I believe this depression was made permanent when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, which annihilated the real foundation of our nation's currency, and transformed all wealth in America into nothing but paper wealth only. I believe the American government has been able to skyrocket our national debt to $8.5 trillion, primarily because it realizes that they are not borrowing real money, yet future generations will have to repay this debt with very real money. I believe the Enron executives were prosecuted not because they engaged in illegal fraud by cooking the books to create billions of dollars in revenue on paper only, but because Enron committed the unforgivable sin of getting caught doing what most of corporate America does on a daily basis. Meanwhile, 300 million American citizens waste their time trying to manipulate a few hundred or a few thousand pieces of green paper, never even realizing that paper money has no relevance in a fundamentally fake economy where trillions of dollars that don't even exist is continuously transferred to and fro by huge corporations and our government. Maybe I'm wrong, but the point is that I'm willing to change my beliefs completely, if necessary, when faced with compelling evidence that those beliefs are wrong. I want to know the truth, and I want you to know the truth. Why? Because it's impossible for any of us to make good decisions that affect our lives when we don't have complete and accurate information to base those decisions on. It's really as simple as that. So I want to travel the United States and learn for myself what the reality really is. And I want to share not only the results of that investigation, but the process of the quest itself with the American people in the form of a regular podcast that's broadcast from the American Road. If you prefer to consider this a reality show, then you're welcome to go right ahead, because really that's exactly what it is. Not the kind of so-called reality show you'll see on television, where cameramen, producers, lawyers, doctors, and bartenders hide off-screen, while the only thing that you see on TV is half-naked people fighting for their survival all alone on a desert island. I'm talking about me and a car and a camera, searching every nook and cranny of the United States of America for the truth, and nothing more. It doesn't get any more real than that. Of course, it's impossible to investigate the reality of Third World America without also investigating relevant issues that might at first glance seem unrelated to poverty, or the wealth gap, or debtor's imprisonment. For example, the war in Iraq might not seem relevant to poverty here in the United States, but it is very relevant. You see, if it turns out to be true that Americans were tricked into supporting an unjust war on the basis of rhetoric and propaganda in the news media, then it implies that Americans could also be tricked into believing that our economy is stronger and more fair than it really is. It implies that Americans could be tricked into supporting international free trade agreements that benefit only wealthy corporations while devastating millions of American workers' financial security. You see, there's a lot more than meets the eye to reality, especially in a nation that is inundated with mass media that has the power to create and maintain what Noam Chomsky calls necessary illusions, or false reality, with no effective means to challenge that false reality publicly, because the same few corporations control nearly all the mass media in the United States. But me, driving down America's roads with a camera, will not present you with false realities. One man alone in a car will present you with true reality, as it happens, and I will be relentless in my quest for the truth. The beauty of this idea is that it completely undermines the corporate-controlled mass media, which can do nothing to stop me from presenting the American people with reality on an internet podcast, as long as people actually listen to the podcast, of course. Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly, they can call me names on their show. Hell, they can even threaten to stack my locker if they want to, but they can't stop me from telling and showing the American people what I find, from showing them what the corporate mass media absolutely refuses to reveal, the truth. It's like Jello Biafra has told us for so many years, become the media. When the media sucks, become the media. The podcast tour that I'm proposing allows me and you to become the media, and there's not a damn thing that CNN or Fox News or anyone else can do to stop us. I have some corollary goals for this project as well. For one thing, I intend to visit places of particular relevance during this tour, such as the ruins of Waco, Thomas Jefferson's gravesite, and Ground Zero, places like that, because they really are important that we reflect upon what happened at these places. And if my listeners will support this project the way that I really hope they will, I also want to gather thousands of names on petitions which I will hand-deliver to Capitol Hill in full view of the national news media, demanding a few things that the American people have every right to demand. This includes the impeachment of George W. Bush for violation of federal law and his oath of office, an end to domestic surveillance and the police state, a return to the national security that our Constitution provided this nation flawlessly for two centuries, an end to corporate puppet mastery of our elected officials, campaign finance reform, a coherent strategy for winning the war against terror without sacrificing civil liberties, the end of American imperialism overseas, reversal of last year's catastrophic bankruptcy annihilation law, acknowledgement and abolishment of the American debtor's prison, a federal investigation of Sallie Mae and the student loan industry at large for racketeering, education reform to ensure that graduating students are actually educated, and many other things that Americans must demand if this nation is to cease its decline toward third world nation status and rebuild itself into a truly safe, secure, and prosperous land of freedom and opportunity. So there you have it. That is what I propose to do. Now, if the American people do not support this effort, here is what will happen. I will drive around the country for a while, podcasting regularly, while no one listens. At some point, I will run out of money, gas, and food, and I'll be stranded in some town or city or desert or mountain, and you'll never hear from me again. The mass media will have a hearty laugh at this one guy who attempted to prove what lousy investigative journalists they are, and that will be that. But if the American people will realize the potential power they could exert in Washington by simply supporting one impoverished man's humble project, here is what will happen instead. I will drive around the country, podcasting regularly while the number of Americans listening grows each week, because you will be spreading the word. I will spend less time fighting for my survival and more time doing research and reporting, because you will let me park my car in your driveway for a decent night's sleep, where I won't be molested by the police or other nefarious characters. I will present petitions demanding that our elected officials in Congress immediately cease and desist from serving corporate America, because you will be helping me to gather those signatures on the petitions that I will deliver to Capitol Hill. The mass media will increasingly find itself unable to ignore the grassroots movement that you and I will form together, because you will relentlessly contact them and their advertisers, making it clear that you will boycott those who ignore what we are doing. It's possible that during my travels I might be invited to speak on local radio and television shows and such. effectively invading the corporate-controlled mass media itself, because you will make it impossible for the mass media to ignore what I'm doing. The corporate-controlled mass media won't laugh nearly so hard when that happens, when we, the people, become the media. Not only that, but I will be writing a book on my experience throughout this process, and I'll be gathering video footage for an independent film on Third World America. My ultimate goal is to end the tour in time to screen this film at the Sundance Film Festival in January of 2008. With your support, even the Hollywood socialites who have taken over the Sundance Film Festival won't be able to ignore this film. As all of you know, once these kinds of social and political issues receive national publicity in a well-received film, they can no longer be ignored, and real, positive change comes rather quickly. Just look at how many positive changes to our public schools' lunch programs occurred after the independent film Super Size Me gained national publicity. That is the power of becoming the media. I'll explain more about why this project will work in a future manifesto podcast. I'll also explain why I really believe it is the only course of action that will work in our current environment of government-induced terror and corporate-controlled media. I will give you a quick hint of what I'm getting at here, though. The mass media and our government have strategically marginalized every other avenue for positive change by branding everyone who seeks change as insurgents or unpatriotic. But what I propose to do here is grassroots activism in its most pure form, in the great American tradition of our founding fathers themselves, who I respect and admire so very much. The strategy I propose will work, but only if I have your support in a variety of ways throughout the tour. Otherwise, my car will eventually run out of overpriced gas in some desolate part of the country. I'll never be heard from again, and I really believe Americans will have lost a unique opportunity for change forever. Now, I've presented this plan to many people one-on-one over the last 6 months, and the reactions have been almost unanimously positive, except in cases where people fear for my safety. Well, I have to admit, I fear for my safety too, especially as America heads toward a police state. But fear did not stop the wealthiest men in the American colonies from demanding freedom from a tyrant 230 years ago, and neither will it stop an impoverished American from demanding freedom from a tyrant today. Fear is what allows other people to subjugate and imprison you. Courage is what allows us to regain our freedom. So screw the risk and screw the fear. I've committed to doing this, and I need your help and your support to make it happen for real. So there you go. That's my proposal in a nutshell. I've had to leave out a lot of details, including much of the rationale for why I believe this tour project could really make a lasting difference in America, and why I believe that a truly grassroots effort that has absolutely no corporate sponsorship is the only way we'll ever make a difference. I don't want corporate sponsorship, because corporations are tyrants by nature, and they cannot be trusted to truly support what is good for the American people at large. I want to be sponsored by the American people instead. Now that is a sponsorship I can truly be proud of. So please, send me some email and tell me what you think about the project I've proposed here. Ask me questions if you have any. Give me suggestions. If you want to help out with the podcast tour in some way that I haven't thought of, please let me know. Now, I do need to say a few words about fundraising here, because let's face it, I'm going to need financial assistance. I, for one, absolutely abhor the idea of having to beg for money. But the reality of our economy pretty much requires me to ask for donations. People who actually try to accomplish worthy goals never seem to have the money to pursue those goals. While our government gives billions of tax dollars away each year in grants for junk science and military research, so the military can destroy other nations, and then they give more to Halliburton to rebuild those nations that the military just destroyed. And on the other side, the American people themselves give billions of dollars each year to televangelists, to lousy political candidates, and to nonprofit anti-poverty organizations whose officers enjoy six-figure salaries. So is it really that offensive if I ask people who support what I'm doing to throw a couple of bucks my way? If you can't afford to donate money, then fine. No one understands that situation better than me, believe me. But if you can't afford to donate, I'm going to set up a variety of ways you can help with minimal loss on your part. For example, I'm going to set up a travel affiliate website and ask that anytime you're going to purchase airline tickets or hotel reservations or a cruise, that you book it through my travel portal. See, that will allow me to earn commissions from something that you're already going to purchase anyway, without costing you anything more than you were going to spend otherwise. I'm also going to be setting up some similar affiliate programs so that I can get commissions from other online purchases that you were going to make anyway. I think that's a fair balance so that it doesn't cost you more money than it would otherwise, yet I can get some financing for this podcast tour. So I'm not just asking for blind donations, like a televangelist or a political candidate would do. However, I do hope you'll recognize that in a nation where the price of gas has tripled in 5 years, I'm going to need financial assistance of some sort to drive across the continental United States and back again over the course of a year while creating a quality documentary film that will finally bring these issues to the forefront of the American consciousness. There is simply no other way to make all this happen than for me to humbly request your support in this way. But there will be plenty of other ways I could use your assistance aside from just donations. Like I said, we're going to need to gather petition signatures for me to deliver to Capitol Hill. I'm going to need people to notify me of local events and activities for the places I'm traveling that I should investigate while I'm on the road. I'm going to need real people with real stories to interview for the podcast and for the film. I'll need people to write letters. And I'm really going to need the help of talented web programmers and graphic artists who can maybe donate a logo for the project and help get a message board running on the website so that we can all be in communication with each other. That's what a grassroots movement is about, after all. There are many, many ways in which you'll be able to participate directly in this project, because I don't want it to be my project alone. That is way too much of a burden for one individual to handle. I want it to be our project. We the people's way of finally taking the power back. This is our way of honoring our founding father's memory by telling so many would-be tyrants today, hell no, you're not going to take over this country on our watch. Well, I can only hope that you're as excited as I am about the potential for this podcast tour to bring about some much-needed changes in America. So please, send me some mail, right now.
Do it.
Tell me what you think. Tell me if you're willing to support my efforts. Make suggestions that will help it become an even more powerful grassroots force. Let's get the ball rolling while there's still time. Now don't forget, Congress is moving quickly to restrict free speech on the internet. So projects like this may be impossible, even in the near future. The time to act is now, before even podcasting is marginalized into an ineffective means of communication. All right, thank you all so very much for joining me for this very special fourth episode of Third World American. My name again is Paul, and you can reach me by email at paul@thirdworldamerican.com or leave a comment on my website, www.thirdworldamerican.com. If this show appeals to you, I hope you'll do a couple things in particular. First of all, please tell everybody you know about the show. Ask them to bookmark it and listen to the show. Also, while you're at my website, please click on the vote button on my website, which casts a vote at Podcast Alley. That gives a lot of exposure to the show. Don't forget to respond to the verification email so that your vote will be counted. And also, please don't forget that Podcast Alley resets the vote count on the first day of each month. So please vote again at the beginning of each month. Also, please click on the subscription link on my website so that you'll have this show automatically downloaded to your computer whenever new episodes become available. Let me thank Germ once again very much for letting me use his awesome mix, The Oath, as my theme music today, since all my audio was lost when my hard drives crashed last week. But that's another story, isn't it? And special thanks, really, to the readers of Mother Jones Magazine for stopping by today if you saw my ad. please send me some mail and let me know if you found this show through my classified ad there. Really, anyone who reads Mother Jones is automatically a friend of mine. I hope you'll listen to previous shows, including my Manifesto Podcast number 1, which outlines the fundamental problems that we face in America today. I do apologize that the manifesto is 90 minutes long, but hey, we got a lot of problems here. I'll be back with episode 5 as soon as possible, as I get a new hard drive installed with audio editing software and all that good stuff. Until then, thank you for joining me today, and remember, it was other people's gift to you that you were born free, but it's your gift to yourself that you remain free. And how do you remain free? Resist. Take care, everybody.
This is an impressive crowd, a half more. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
That's good, because I work 3 jobs and I feel like I contribute.
You work 3 jobs?
3 jobs, yeah.
Uniquely American, isn't it? I mean, that is fantastic that you're doing that. Get any sleep? Back to work.